Well, to federal politics now back home, and the opposition says it's ready to work with the Albanese government to stop a group of 34 Australian women and children with alleged links to Islamic State who are trying to return to Australia from Syria. The government has barred one woman from returning using a temporary exclusion order, and the Prime Minister says the government will, quote, do nothing to assist these people coming back to Australia. Joining me now is John O'Dunham, the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs. John O'Dunham, welcome back to Breakfast.
Sally, thanks for having me this morning.
The government has already issued this temporary exclusion order regarding one individual. What more do you think needs to happen?
Well, I suppose they have assessed this individual and determined that on the evidence available to them that that individual is deemed too high a risk to return to Australia, hence this exclusion order banning them for return temporarily. But it strikes me as odd given these individuals all went to the same location and supporting the same cause, the same organisation, Islamic State, through their ISIS fighter husbands. So how they've arrived at one conclusion for one individual and not the others leaves me with more questions than answers relating to this. And this is all we've been asking for, is clarity on this. It's one thing to say that no support will be provided to repatriate these individuals, who most Australians agree seem to be a risk to our national security, but we need to know the facts behind this so we can allay these concerns.
In 2019, the Morrison government repatriated eight children of Australian nationals with Islamic State links in Syria. This is what the then Prime Minister Scott Morrison said at the time.
They've got off to a horrible start in life. As a result of the appalling decisions of their parents. And they'll find their home in Australia, and I'm sure they'll be embraced by Australians. And as a result of that embrace, I'm sure they will live positive and happy lives.
Do the children in this latest case deserve similar levels of concern and protection?
Well, largely up to the parents, who I understand are all living with the children in this cohort. I mean, again, this is information that probably needs to come to light through the course of our deliberations on this matter. But the children repatriated in 2019, as I understand it, were orphans and so therefore were treated in a different way. Again, though, anyone being repatriated from this part of the world is somehow or indeed a risk when it comes to our security. And there was overnight, of course, footage emerging of, very sadly, children acting in a way you could only describe as radicalised towards journalists from the United States who were visiting one of these displacement camps. And so we cannot ignore the risk associated with individuals, whether they be minors or indeed adults, when it comes to repatriating them here. And indeed, when it comes to these minors, the temporary exclusion order regime does apply to individuals between the ages of 14 and 17. And some reports suggest that these aren't just infants. They are indeed inclusive of teenagers who would be more advanced in thinking and beliefs than perhaps a younger child.
On Australian soil, children are afforded the care and protection of governments even if their parents make poor decisions and or place them in danger. Why are the same principles seemingly not applied to these Australian children?
Well, again, there are this situation which lacks a lot of clarity. A lot of detail is missing from this. So there's a lot of guesswork going on here too. And this is where fear creeps in when it comes to the public debate on these matters. Apparently, all of the children have their parents still living. And of course, therefore, parents are making decisions around the futures of these children. If we're talking about forcibly removing children from parents for reasons, as you've alluded to, then that is another discussion entirely. But on top of that, we are talking about children who are in a part of the world which presents enormous security risks for us as a Western nation. Islamic State fighters and their spouses and those associated with them are not friends of Australia. And sadly, as we saw overnight with the very alarming and disturbing footage of children chanting certain things that are in no way something we should take in a relaxed way, that's the sort of stuff we need to assess. And that is the added complexity of this, not just the geographical distance between us and those children and these so-called ISIS brides, but indeed the fact that they're in a declared area, which is declared a terrorist zone for good reason.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs, John O'Dunham. On a separate issue, you've distanced yourself from the draft immigration policy that was leaked on Monday. Who wrote that policy?
Oh, look, I don't know for sure who wrote it, but indeed, as you would expect, there are members of our staff in various offices, including the former leader's office, who don't just wait to be told to do things. They will often draft up possible ideas. I can tell you, though, of course, working with Susan Lee, with Paul Scar, with Michaela Cash, Julian Lisa and others, Andrew Bragg included, we had an excellent package ready to release just prior to those terrible events at Bondi at the end of last year. That, of course, was delayed in response to dealing with those matters. And from that point in time, work was underway to recalibrate the policies that were there in response to Bondi. But in terms of the specifics that were released in the manner you've described, well, they were internal works by an individual in another office and something I'd not had a chance to properly interrogate. I'm now getting on with the job, along with Angus Taylor, and Dave Sharma and other colleagues, of redrafting our policy so that we can present to Australians something that will actually deliver an immigration system that gives us as a country what we need.
John O'Dunham, thank you for your time.
Sally, thank you very much.